contents of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Demi Arsenault from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Line Magazine. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the December 2022 issue of Line Magazine. We'll start today with the President's message, entitled, We Are the Good Things. Hello, Lions. In Minnesota, even though December is cold and dark, our hearts are never more warm and filled with light than they are during this time. It's in December that we share meals with loved ones and find ways to connect with friends that we haven't seen all year. We look for ways to give to those in need. And we are thankful, more than ever, for not only the things we have, but the ways in which we are able to help those that need us. Besides my family, there is nothing in this world I'm more thankful for than the ability to serve others. I am honored to serve soup to the homeless, build parks and community gardens, and invest in the care of our environment. I am humbled by the people who allow me into their lives so that I may give them a small portion of what the world has given to me. Lions, as we near the end of the calendar year and start thinking about our hopes for the new year, let's not forget about the people we serve. Let's remember that we are all hoping for good things in our lives, and that we are the good things in our lives. Our loved ones, our fellow Lions, and those we serve. Make it a great day. Brian E. Sheehan, International President of Lions Clubs International. And our next article is from our Global Service Department. It's titled, Eating Out Again. Isolation is just one of the many challenges faced by dementia patients and their caregivers, and Oviedo Winter Springs Lion Dennis Dolniak, who spent 7 years caring for his wife, Nancy, knows that all too well. Although Nancy suffered from early-onset Alzheimer's and died in 2021 at age 69, Dolniak is spending his retirement honoring her and helping others who find themselves in a similar situation. In 2020, he founded Dementia-Friendly Dining in Central Florida, working with restaurants to help them offer their service to dementia patients and their caregivers. Although it is not directly a Lions program, I see this as an extension of my service ethic. As Lions, we serve, says Dolniak. The recognition for this has far exceeded my expectations. It's a wonderful thing. With compassionate staff and space like a side or back room to get away from the buzz of a crowd, the restaurants offer a safe, enjoyable way for caregivers and family members to take those with dementia out for a meal. Four Central Florida restaurants are now offering this service, and Dolniak is eager to share the idea with others. It's not the food that these customers need so badly. It's everything that comes with eating out. Freedom, socialization, and a time to make happy memories. Dementia-friendly dining allows family to take part in normal activities with their loved one, taking a break from the daily struggles, says Dolniak. For the patient, it provides stimulation and socialization. Dennis and Nancy enjoyed eating out in their 47-year marriage. Even in the early stages of the disease, she helped other dementia victims and supported his efforts. When her own health declined and she had to move to a memory care facility, Dennis continued to take his wife out for lunch or treats. She loved it. In Central Florida, his plan was first adopted by the Meatball Shop, a family restaurant in Orlando. Soon after, COVID restrictions made dining out impossible, and plans to grow the program were put on hold. Now back to business and teamed with certified caregiving consultant Tony Geidels, Dolniak has resumed his effort to expand awareness and encourage others to help make their communities more dementia-friendly. He and Geidels train restaurant staff to wear dementia-friendly dining buttons and are taught ways to make these special guests more comfortable. His advice, smile, smile, smile. Make eye contact and speak clearly and slowly as dementia patients process more slowly. Serve water immediately. Clear tables of all unnecessary items. offer just two food selections and always serve from the front so as not to distract or alarm the guest. Those in early stages of dementia enjoy it, and they do well, Dolniak says. And the idea is transferable anywhere. I would love to share this idea with other communities. If Lions think this is a great way of supporting their community, I'm all for supporting that. In another effort, Dolniak, who's 71 years old, and his sons, Mark and Craig, honor the memory of Nancy, a lifelong librarian, through Nana's Books Foundation, which is at nanasbooks.org, N-A-N-A-books.org. A profit that supplies grade-appropriate books on Alzheimer's, dementia, and other disabilities to public libraries and students in Title I schools. In his first year, they sent 846 books to her hometown school and the public school in Granville, New York. This year, they're sending books to five schools around the country. We're sharing information about Alzheimer's and the need to understand that caregiving is essential. We want to teach children that their grandparents aren't stupid. They can't remember their names because they have a disease, Dolniak says. We're working on kindness, compassion, and acceptance. This is what I'm doing, and if that doesn't keep me busy until my last breath, I don't know what will. Our next article is from our features department, titled The Most Wonderful Time of the Year. Tree sales put holiday spirit on full display. Choosing a Christmas tree isn't always the simplest decision of the holiday season. But the Lions Club of Acton, Massachusetts, worked to make it a little easier. The Acton Lions operate a Christmas tree and wreath sale every December, and in nearly 40 years of the fundraiser, they've seen it all. Frantic families, Santa cosplayers, and trees driven off the lot in every conceivable vehicle. It seems like once the Lions open the sale, no effort is too great for Acton residents to bring a tree home. Buying a real tree, of course, starts with the decision to buy a real tree. And for some families, the perfect tree takes some wrangling. Bickering does happen in the lot. We're not marriage counselors, stresses Lion Brian Flood. The Acton Lions have seen their fair share of holiday squabbles, and they aren't immune to it themselves. Lion Dean Charter, who organizes the tree sale, recalls, "One of our Lions asked to borrow my truck so he could bring a tree home. The next day, he asked to borrow it again to bring the tree back. I asked what was wrong, and he said, 'Well, I guess my wife wanted to pick one out herself.'" The 40-year tradition of buying an Acton Lions tree always brings people back, even if they don't have the best vehicle for the job. "We had a woman with a Porsche convertible come up, and we put the tree right in the front seat of her car," says Flood. "One Christmas magic tree takes hold. I'm sorry, once Christmas magic takes hold, only a New Brunswick balsam tree will do, no matter how they have to get it home. Somebody always shows up in a convertible," says Charter. "They have expensive cars, and they don't care if they get pitch and needles all over." The Acton Lions love to make that tradition a memorable experience every year. A great location on a busy commercial road helps, as do their generous weekend hours. Local school band musicians are invited to play, and it's not uncommon to see Santa hats and other holiday costumes. Flood is quick to point out one of the lot's greatest amenities, the Dunkin' Donuts across the street, a welcome comfort for any Bay Stater. "The tree lot is a community meeting place," says Charter. "People love to hang out, drinking coffee and chatting. It's a bonding experience." The tree sale also helps the Lions to give back to Acton in a big way. Charter estimates that after expenses, the sale brings in around $20,000 a year. "We ordered 700 trees this year," he says, "a number that even Santa would have trouble finding in his sack." The tree income funds Acton food pantries, sports leagues, college scholarships, and even a training program for service dogs. It's amazing how much good the Lions can do, says Charter. Where there's a need, there's a lion. A tree may only last the season, but that spirit lasts the entire year. Our next article from our LCIF Features Department is helping provide safety and education to girls in Kenya. Located in a remote area of Kenya, the Ilkikara Primary and Boarding School serves the semi-nomadic Maasai children in the region. And the lifestyle of these children's families required perpetual moving around following the grazing grounds of their cattle. Many of the Maasai children previously did not graduate from school. Thanks to an LCIF grant, the boarding school now serves 500 children with 12 classrooms, dining halls, library, teacher's room, visitor guest homes, and finished girl and boy dormitories. The grant supplemented outside donations over the last 10 years from the Lions in Germany and Lions in Kenya to make the project a reality. Before the boarding school existed, the Maasai children only attended the day school for about 3 months per year, since their family was semi-nomadic. In the dry season, children needed to walk up to 18 miles with their parents to find food for their herds. In 2012, the school only served about 60 children per year without proper facilities and a dilapidated structure. Now, the boarding school allows the children to study at the school all year round and complete exams even if their family moves on. Our Maasai children now have the opportunity to learn all year round, despite the nomadic way of their families, because of the good classrooms and other vital facilities in the schools, says Michael Tenges Muntet, project coordinator. Especially for the girls, a boarding school is a place of security. It provides protection against the violence on an otherwise long path to school. Unfortunately, according to a 2021 report by UN Women, one of two women reported that a woman that they know experienced violence since the COVID-19 pandemic hit. The Maasai girls face serious problems from female genital mutilation, early marriages, and denial of education, said Kapil Deo Sharma, grant administrator. The boarding school is helping to reduce these practices and, hopefully, over the long term, eliminate them. One student, Saman Kirison, said, "Today we have nice classrooms fully furnished from the bottom of our hearts. We say thank you for helping us to realize our dreams." And you can learn more about how you can help one more and support humanitarian programs like the Ilkikara Primary and Boarding School in your community by going to lionsclubs.org/LCIF humanitarian. And again, that was lionsclubs.org/LCIF humanitarian. We're going to move to our In the News department next, beginning with Walking the Walk. Lions in District 35N, which is in Florida, the Bahamas, Aruba, Bonaire, and Curaçao, felt the 35th anniversary of Women in Lions deserved some flair. They designed a commemorative pin that they say represents feminism, but also strengthened leadership, professionalism, and service to Lions Clubs International. Says 2nd Vice District Governor Jane Colonna, "I challenge you to take a walk in our stilettos for a day, and you will understand how important women are to the strength of Lions." In 6 months, they've sold more than 1,000 pins, generating $10,000 for LCIF. And next, an article titled, "We Are Connected." Anja Rosen, 13, from Ravna na Koroškem, Slovenia, is the grand prize winner of the 2021-22 Peace Poster Contest. "Peace is very important," says Rosen. "There is inner peace, which is finding happiness and contentment, no matter how stressful your life is. Peace is also freedom from violence. When there is peace, nations and the whole planet can be stable and promote cultural growth. I don't understand wars, how people can let them happen, or what leads people that far. Rosen was sponsored by the Slovan Gradec Lions Club, and her poster was chosen for its originality, artistic merit, and portrayal of the contest theme, We Are All Connected. Shreya Zoy, 13, from Kerala, India, is the grand prize winner of this year's Peace Essay Contest. Her powerful piece, titled We Are All Connected, centers on the idea that the world is one family. We are interconnected and dependent on one another's kindness, says Zoy. The recent pandemic teaches us a lesson that nobody can survive alone. Zoy was sponsored by the Manuthi Agri City Lions Club. For a complete list of winners and to read the winning essay, you can visit lionsclubs.org/peaceposter. And again, that was lionsclubs.org/peaceposter. And finally, from our In the News, Lions Clubs International honors Dr. Helena Nedumi with Humanitarian Award. For her dedication to humanitarian service and medical contributions to the world, Dr. Helena Nedumi, Chief of Ophthalmology at Windhoek Central Hospital in Namibia and partner with SEE International, was presented with the 2022 Lions Humanitarian Award during the 104th Lions Clubs International Convention in Montreal, California on June 28, 2022. Forced to flee her homeland in the Oshik Oto region of Namibia at age 15, Helena lived in the Southwest Africa People's Organization, also known as SWAPO, as the acronym, liberation camps in Zambia and Angola. The organization sent her to the Gambia in West Africa, where she completed secondary school. Motivated to serve those less fortunate due to the civil unrest that she witnessed as a child, SWAPO further supported her to attend medical school in Germany to help those in need. In 1995, Dr. Helena Nedumi met with the founder of SEE International, and together they worked toward reversing preventable blindness in Namibia. Since then, Dr. Nedumi has dedicated her life and her career to treating blindness and low vision, both in Namibia and throughout the developing world. Dr. Nedumi has performed more than 35,000 eye surgeries free of charge in her home country of Namibia, Angola, and around the world. For so many people, living with preventable blindness makes all the difference in whether or not they survive or starve, says Dr. Nedumi. The Lions Humanitarian Award, the association's highest honor, is given to an individual or an organization with exemplary humanitarian efforts and comes with a Lions Clubs International Foundation grant for up to $250,000 to a charitable organization for continuing humanitarian activities. Dr. Nedumi joins a distinguished list of prior recipients, including Mother Teresa, former U.S. President Jimmy Carter, and Nobel Peace Prize winner Dr. Denis Mukwege. I am truly honored to receive the Lions Humanitarian Award, says Dr. Nedumi. My biggest goal in life is to end preventable blindness and to build a team of committed young people that will continue to fight against it. So even when I am not here, they will carry on that mission. And because we have time, I want to double back to an older article from our archive that we weren't able to read earlier this year. It's from February 11th, 2022, entitled Rope Toe Breathes New Life into Michigan Town. When Michigan's mountain lions installed a new rope toe, reopening their Adventure Mountain ski hill after a 30-year absence, they tossed a lifeline to their community. Lion President Michael Lako says the new rope toe is a vehicle for hope. And what better time for a renewed hope than after a pandemic, when families need to get out and kids need fresh air and a safe place to be with friends, but apart. Like many others in Greenland Township, on the western edge of the Upper Peninsula, Lako grew up here where the snowy winters are made for sledding, skiing, and snowboarding. His club has leased the recreational area from the township for many years, continuing an indoor natural ice rink on the property, and the Lions Clubhouse, also known as the Chalet, where concessions are ready and windows offer a view of the action on the slope. But when the rope tow went down in 1990, winter entertainment went with it. For more than 30 years, despite numerous efforts, life just kept getting in the way of fixing it. The economy in the rural area was suffering as the copper mine and the local paper mill closed. There was the Father's Day flood in nearby Houghton that affected the entire area. And rope tows are expensive. The small township, population about 800 with a preponderance of seniors, relies on the support of schools, agriculture, and the logging industry. But do Lions give up? Neither did the people they serve. With community support and the paperwork and knowledge of engineer and Lions secretary Don Jutunen, the club was awarded a recreation passport grant for $45,000 from the Michigan Department of Natural Resources, but they had to raise more than $30,000 to secure it. Another grant from the local Portage Health Foundation took care of $22,800, and Lion Kip McIntyre donated another $10,000 in honor of his mother. Final cost? Roughly $80,000 for the rope tow, new towers, and a new electric motor to replace the one from 1905. McIntyre, whose family also donated the lights for nighttime activity, says his whole family grew up in the area. He wanted to give back. We're losing so much in this area, I felt we needed something to get the kids outside doing something, he told reporters when the project was completed. That hill did it for me, and a lot of people older than me. Community leaders hail it as a great team effort. Now that the updated hill has breathed new life into the town, a group of Lions work hard to keep it going strong. Lions with CPR certification are always on the property when it's open. Lions run the concessions. Lion Fred Barron takes on the big task of laying the ice for the rink. Jutunen, who was paralyzed after breaking his back in an accident, attends to the ski hill with his snowmobile, a snow groomer attached, at least once or twice a week. Lako, a retired Lutheran pastor who spends about 10 hours a week at the hill, says Jutunen's volunteer job can take 6 hours. Good thing that he likes to snowmobile. Snowmobile trails run throughout the area, as well as hiking trails where Lako and others like to snowshoe, and where people enjoy hiking in the winter months. The county fair happens on the same land for 2 weeks every summer. Now, with the hill open through winter, it's the scene of a year-round adventure. Winter can be inconvenient, says Jutunen. It's nice to have a chance to play in it. And one more article from our archive, from Israel, from July 13, 2022, Lions get in on octopi action to help preemies grow. Armed with crochet hooks and boundless enthusiasm, members of a Lions Club in Israel are creating colorful stuffed octopi to help premature babies thrive. Research shows that nestling the crocheted sea animals in isolettes can provide benefits for preemies, which is why members of Almog Krilat Ono Lions Club started making the eight-legged octopi in October of 2021. Lion Laura Babai was watching television when she learned about the Octo Project, which was started about 9 years ago in Denmark and has expanded into an international effort to make the stuffed animals for premature babies. With rounded bodies and bulging eyes, octopi may not seem like the perfect companions for small babies, but it turns out they soothe the newborns, especially in the innately stressful setting of a neonatal intensive care unit, with its glaring lights, blinking machines, and healthcare providers coming in and out. The idea to pair preemies and octopi was born in Aarhus University Hospital in Denmark, which found that the stuffed octopi can help improve a premature baby's breathing and regulate their heartbeat and blood oxygen levels. They also discovered that the soft, curled tentacles resemble the umbilical cord, and when babies grasp the tentacles, they feel safe and comforted. The babies also were less likely to pull on the tubes and monitors needed to protect their health. After numerous internet searches, emails, and phone calls, Babai connected with a representative of the Octopi Project in Israel, who referred them to a craft teacher who coordinates similar groups and who passes along the octopi to hospitals. Krilat Ono Lion Shoshi Ben Dror, who is a skilled crafter, spent a day learning the directions for making the octopi, which have to be made to hospital standards. We are providing homemade dolls that go into neonatal wards for preemies and into their incubators, says Babai. The dolls have to be made accordingly. Each donated octopi is carefully checked and machine washed before being handed over. The Israeli club has 7 members who meet once a week to make the octopi under Dror's guidance. Luckily, she took it upon herself to order the materials and instruct us, says Babai. She also helps new members. Some members of the group were motivated to take part because they themselves had given birth to premature babies. Others simply wanted to relearn the joys of crafting. We found that we all improved over time and with practice, says Babai. She estimates that it takes about 3 days to make one octopus, and members often crochet in their spare time at home or while watching television. As of July, they have made about 75 octopi. The cost of yarn is covered by the Lions Club, and each participant brings their own crochet hook. A skein of yarn costs about 3 Israeli new shekels, which is about 86 cents in U.S. dollars, and it takes one skein to make a 1.5 to 2 octopi. For other clubs considering getting in on the octopus action, Babai recommends learning if there are other octopi project groups or other groups already doing similar work in their communities and learning from their experience. Making those connections can often help open the door to cooperation with hospitals that will accept the octopi. Babai says the effort has benefited the preemies, as well as the lions who have bonded during their weekly crocheting bees. And unfortunately, we've run out of time for today's episode of Lion Magazine. Be sure to tune in next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Demi Arsenault for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for the print and visually impaired audience. Lion Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. And again, that number is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, and have a wonderful day.